shall we continue in sin? Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Verse 1 of Romans chapter 6 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" The great themes of the gospel has been presented to us here in the book of Romans. Sin from chapter 1 verse 18 to verse 3, chapter 3 verse 20, and salvation chapter 3 verse 21 to chapter 5 verse 21, and sanctification, chapter 6 verse 1, which we are starting here, to chapter 8 verse 39. This is the broad division in the book of Romans. When you look at the gospel, first thing is that we must realize that we are sinners. Sin has to be dealt with, and sin, if it's not been dealt with, will have a lingering disaster. And so the Lord says to us that sin has to be dealt with. Then when the sin problem is dealt with, then there will be salvation. So when we come to God and through Jesus Christ, by the power of God, we are freed from sin. Salvation is given to us, right? We are positionally sanctified, meaning that we are saved. The Spirit of God come and dwell in us. Our sins are washed away, right? God has opened the way for us to go to heaven. That is the way to God. We have repented of our sins, right? And now we have this new life that God has given us. And this new life that God has given us, He will allow us to go through a period, a process of sanctification. Sanctification means to make progress in living a life of holiness. Make progress. That means God wants us to make progress, to put away sin in our life. You see, that's what our title is. Shall we continue in sin? God has freed us from the mud. Shall we still go back to it? If we have not realized it, then, God has pointed out to us. But if we have known that certain things are bad for us, would you still be tempted to do the bad things? You would find, Paul would explain to us, right, that there is a battle there. You will have to struggle, and you will have to win. God has given you that power. And what is that struggle? Well, basically it's actually quite simple, you know. The Lord tells us that we are simply to obey His word. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Right? If we are not obeying, if we are choosing to disobey the word of God, then you find that, hey, we would be really losing the blessings of God in our lives. And we may laugh about it. We may joke about it. We may think that it's a small matter. But I can tell you that you are losing big time in your life. And if you think that you really know, well, by the disobedience, really you have not known. And it's sad. Why? Because the new life in Christ entails that we should not continue in sin. Shall we continue in sin? Shall we continue to defile the Sabbath day? Shall we continue to not keep it holy? Shall we continue not to be assembled together with the people of God? Right? we have a webcast. We put our webcast not for able people, to sit, you know, in the comfort of their living room and escape the fellowship of the saints with the people of God. No, that's not the purpose. It is for those who are not well in the body, those who are not able to come. They have access, at least they are able to worship God with us. Not for the able people. And therefore, we said this, shall we continue in sin? After God has freed you from sin, shall you continue to sin? God has to deal with our hearts. That's why, you see, Paul, after he tells us about our salvation, he speaks to us about our defiance. Our defiance. Why are we still so defiant? Why are we still not yielded to God? Why will we not obey? Well, this is what Paul is saying to us. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God's favor is upon you to help you. And God's favor comes with obedience to His truth, obedience to His word. And sometimes we may not realize what we are losing out. Right? But as you look at your days past, you'll find that what is lost is lost. You have missed that blessing. You have missed it forever. And when God gives to you that opportunity, don't spurn it. Don't take it lightly. A time will come when, you know, you'll find that even if you want it, you can't. Yesterday we were visiting a gentleman, and with a family, we will have a meal, but after that, I'm not well, I have to go home. And then we receive a call. Should he go to the A&E tonight or go to the A&E tomorrow morning? Not good. The body is in trouble, sick. And so the Lord tells us that while the Lord provides us an opportunity, while the Lord gives us a time to serve Him, a time to make good of our lives, don't take for granted. You know, that opportunity may not come by your way again. And you would live to regret. And this is, no one wants to, to speak a chastity word. Right? Who any father or mother feels happy when they have to chastise their discipline, their children? No parent is happy, right? But without that, the children would go on their way. And we know it ourselves, but as grown adults, how can we still behave like what we said, disobedient children? Shouldn't be. Right? That shouldn't be our modus operandi. That's not how we should continue to be living. Right? And if we continue to live that way, well, you would see how, you know, God has a way to deal with sinners. God has a way to deal with sinners, and we don't want to fall into the wrath of God. So receiving pardon from sin, being freed from the bondage of sin, sin does not have a stranglehold in our lives. So Paul says that we are dead to sin. We are dead to sin. Sin no longer has a stranglehold on your life. That means you can choose not to sin. You have the power, after you have received the gospel within you, to just obey and do the will of God, the good will of God. The Apostle Paul reasoned with us that we should not continue in sin, like the dog going back to its own vomit. That's terrible, right? Why would you want to go back to your own vomit. Vomit is, you know, vomit is really terrible, right? Right, all the foul stuff that you eat, and you know, the stomach cannot take it, and you throw everything out, and then you know you go back and partake of those filthy vomit. Our life as a Christian, forward looking, must not be still plagued with the ravages of sin. Just because we receive the pardon from sin by the grace of God does not mean that we should delight in sin, since pardon is forthcoming each time. Right? God forgive you each time. Right? Seems okay. I miss one time. I do not do this another time. I like that, you know. But here, Paul is saying to us that just because we receive the pardon from sin by the grace of God does not mean that we should delight in sin, since God will pardon us each time. The sinning Christian is a misnomer, because he is not making spiritual progress. So if we continue in our sin, it means that we are not making spiritual progress, right? To borrow a Malay word, in the army, you say hentak kaki. What is hentak kaki? Hentak kaki means that you march on the spot. It means you are not moving forward. You are not moving forward. You are just marching on the spot. Right? In marching drills, meaning marching on the spot, to help us see the sad plight of the Christian, making no spiritual progress, still being entangled with sin. Why is it like that? Why do we have to learn it the hard way? Many Christians are in this state, and the Apostle Paul wants to explain to us so that we will not continue to live in this state. He wants us to live victoriously. He wants us to overcome. And the Apostle Paul understood their struggles. Have you had someone coming to you and said, you know, I struggle. I'm a struggling Christian. Well, it's not a bad term. Right? In the sense that the person realized, yeah, in humility, that he has to battle with himself, this flesh of his. Right? He has to fight, and he has to win. And he struggled a good battle to win. Right? And so the Apostle Paul understood their struggles. He will now help them to see the causes and the hindrances to their spiritual progress, so that many reading this epistle may be helped in the journey of sanctification. So after you are saved, there are those who are not going through that process of sanctification. So they can be a Christian after they are saved for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and we say, hentak kaki, right? You march on the spot. No progress, virtually. No effort. Don't want to progress. But that's not what the Christian life is. Right? We should be walking in newness of life. Right? The Christian ought to be vibrant and filled with the vitality of godliness, because he's walking in newness of life. So we have to check ourselves. If we are walking in the newness of life, or are we allowing the flesh to keep entangling us, and you know, we just have no victory. You can have victory once, then you fail again. Victory, fail again, then fail again and fail again. So why like that? That's a very a very weak way to live, right? Not making true progress in your spiritual life. So the Christian life ought to be vibrant and filled with the vitality of godliness, for he is walking in newness of life. Yet it can be observed that many in the church today lose their first love and are no longer making progress spiritually. Are you actively looking at yourself? understanding if you are making progress in your own spiritual life. I think that is must be our own priority, first priority in our lives. Our spiritual life, if we are not growing, then, well, the people around us will not grow also, in the sense, right? If you are a father, if you are a mother, if you are not growing spiritually, then, you know, you would not lead your children to the things of God. But if you are progressing, then you find that, yes, there is help for the people in the family. So we must put priority that we make spiritual progress in our lives. And we examine ourselves. No one is going to tell us what to do. No one is going to be able to, in a sense, change us in any way. But the Spirit of God must speak to our hearts, and then we must be willing, right, to be obedient to the truth. So this is what we are speaking about, right? The church, the Apostle Paul is writing to address this by helping Christians understand the great work wrought for their salvation through Jesus Christ. So what is the book of Romans about? Well, it's describing for us the mechanics, the dynamics of your salvation. What did God do to save you? And what is the impact, the effect of salvation in your life? We speak about it in chapter 5. God's peace comes to you. God's joy comes to you. God's love comes to you. And when you go through trials, you have hope. There is a patience that is developed within you that gives you strength to overcome the trials that is before you. And this is what the Lord is saying to us. And before that, He reminded His reader of their salvation, this new birth. More than physical life, the Christian now has spiritual life. And here He's not speaking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life, which we know consists of the new birth. Rather, He described how the Christian baptism with water identifies a believer with the death of Christ. Meaning that the Lord wants us to see that the old life of sin is crucified with Christ upon the cross already. Your old life is crucified, buried and done away with. And it also signified the triumph over sin and death by Christ's resurrection from the dead 3 days later. So this is wrought, we said, by the glory of the Father to signify that God gets all the praise for this work. And we are undeserving sinners whom God saved. And God wants us to know, right, that this is what is being done. So verse 3 of chapter 6 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death." Baptized into His death. We said that we are crucified with Christ on the cross, buried. The old life of sin is done away. Therefore, we are buried, verse 4 said, by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So there must be a vibrancy, a newness of strength that is within you. And we said, how can you find strength in your life? Where does the vibrancy come from? The vibrancy comes from the Word of God. The Word of God is like seed, you know, living seed in your life. And as you feed upon it, it will nourish you, and it will grow. Your life, your spiritual life, it needs to be fed with the Word of God. So if you study, like we are doing now, the book of Romans, you will know what is God's will for you. God wants you to overcome sin. the sin in your life, and you know yourself, what is your besetting sin? And so I ask you, you know, to examine yourself. What are those times when you fail the Lord? What are those times when you feel you have failed the Lord? You have sinned against God. And then to understand, right, to pray that God will give you the grace each time you are confronted again with sin before you, when temptation comes, you can recognize it, and that you said, I don't want to be there. I know the consequence. I don't want to be there. And Lord, please give me the power to escape, the strength to overcome. And the reason why the world is in such a terrible state is because it is in the bondage of sin. And those who are freed from the bondage of sin, you'll find that your life is very different. You know, God gives you life, true life, real life, a living strength that is within you for your life. Right? The beauty of holiness, the purity of life with God. And the old sin life is crucified with Christ on the cross. And this is wrought by God. Well, and the Lord wants us to live that life to the fullest. This new life in Christ. And so how can we live this life to the fullest? Well, we should not serve sin. Verse 5 and 6. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. The body of sin is destroyed, killed. And so we must kill, right, sin in our lives. And this is the Christian's battle. Because if sin continues to disturb us, then you'll find that your life will be very, very weak. You can't serve. Why? Because spiritually, you're not prepared. Spiritually, you just don't have that strength to serve. Spiritually, you just don't have that strength to be obedient. Spiritually, you just don't have that strength to do the things God wants you to do. Sin has that kind of stranglehold, that kind of power in our life that causes us to be weak, drag us down. So the Lord tells us that we are born again Christians, no longer under the bondage of sin, because the old nature is crucified with Christ on the cross at Calvary. So we have the power to say no to sin. So next time when you are confronted and you are tempted, what did Solomon say to his son? My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1 verse 10, right? We were studying this last year. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Say no. Say no in your heart. And say no, well, by proving it in your actions. And so the Lord is saying to us here that we have been freed from sin, and we have that power to say no to sin. And the reason the Apostle Paul expressed is that we have been united with Christ in both his death and resurrection. He is helping us to understand the nature of the Christian conversion. That there is a complete change. There is a complete change. The old things are passed away. All things have become new. That is the power of the new birth. You see? And you have a desire to want to study God's word. You have a desire to follow God. You desire to prepare to come for worship on Sunday.
you are very happy because you are. It's a precursor of heaven, life with God. And the Lord wants us to understand that life. And this is a testimony. There's a, well, we have a testimony of a brother in Christ, right, who described that change by the Apostle Paul. Do you see that in your own life? As you examine your own life, are you seeing the change? Is there a change in your life? Right. Is the people, you know, that are closest to you still unhappy with you? Are they still scolding you? Are they still not happy with you because you have not changed? Well, we said this, that sometimes we have to realize that it is not them, but it is us. It is our sin. Right? It is cause, it's our sin, it's our life. And no use attending class after class, no use, you know, coming for Sunday school. If we attend the class and we listen already and then we don't change, then it's back to that same problem again, right? The same quarrel again, the same problem again, the same agony again. No change. But listening to God's word must not be like that. And for us, preaching week in, week out, what is the purpose? That God would cause a change in your life. If there's no change, there's no progress. If we know it but we don't do it, no progress. The Lord wants us to change. The Lord wants us not to serve sin anymore. Not to give excuses anymore. Not to say that, hey, it's the other person. He provoked me. She provoked me. No. Let us look at the beam in our own eyes. Ah, we realize how weak we are. We should not serve sin. This is a testimony. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above. Praise Him below. I was a drug addict since the age of 16. I came from a broken home. I tried many ways to kick my drug habit, but was not successful. Thank God, one of my wise friends introduced me to a Christian rehabilitation center. Jesus paid it all. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I was transformed immediately on that day. I would like to thank God for my salvation and redemption. I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And I remember when we begin the church, we gave a text. Say, come to church, come to church. And I look back, how many times? 38 times. Over 38 weeks. Every week, come to church, come to church. Oh, today I'm working. Today I'm not free. Today I have this. Then the last one was, oh, my children getting married. And then the next day, the next week, I have cancer. And the week after, he was here in church. And the week after, 2 weeks later, he he was received into membership. It took so long. We met twice at the hawker center. And he said, come to church. Okay. Come to church. Okay. But we keep delaying. And then came the chemotherapy. I remember, well, he came first in the church. Before anyone comes, he was there sitting. Before anyone else. But at that time, the body was already very weak. The body was already very... was greatly weakened by the chemotherapy. The hair began to drop. Great discomfort in the body. And then I recall visiting him for the last time, giving him the Lord's Supper. And then that Monday, I received the news. He has gone home to be with the Lord. That was life. And that's it. That's life. And we realized that, you know, we don't want to waste our life. We don't want to lose our blessings. We should not serve sin. Verse 5 to 7. We have been freed from sin. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So the old man refers to the previous unregenerate, godless behavior, with no understanding of God, no fear of God, no true moral standard. We can choose to do what we want. We were sold to sin till God intervened in our lives to show us there is a living and true God who is our Heavenly Father. God sent His Son to redeem us back to Him. There is a true story from the days of American slave trade. A young black girl was being sold by auction. A common occurrence in those days. She was tall, slim, and beautiful. The bidding was keen and quickly mounted higher and higher. At last, only two men were left. One with a lowly, uncouth fellow who swore each time he raised his bid against his competitor. A quiet, refined gentleman. Finally, the bidding stopped, and the gentleman who bid so earnestly was given the legal papers which made him the owner of the younger girl. With a push, the auctioneer roughly presented her to her new master. Proudly and defiantly, she stood upright before him, with contempt on her face and hatred in her eyes. Then an amazing thing happened. Her new owner took the papers of ownership and tore them up in pieces. Then throwing them on the ground, he said kindly to the astonished girl, "My dear, I bought you that I might set you free. Now you may go free." This is a wonderful testimony of God's love for us, when He sent His only begotten Son to free us from the bondage of sin. Truly, we are too stunned for speech. We must be too stunned for speech at what God had done for us through Jesus Christ to free us from the cruel slave master, the bondage of Satan. It must cause us to be eternally grateful and cherish our newly bestowed freedom. So this is a good story. We must not forget. It illustrates very well what God had done for us. If we have been freed from sin, then there must be a change. We cannot be living that old life again, no change.
God wants us to change, and may God help us to change. Let us pray. Father, may you be merciful to help us to do your will, to change into the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, strengthen us, help us to put away sin in our lives. This I pray with thanksgiving. May your grace help your people. This I ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.